thank you guys for coming together to join this wonderful day with us today. This is an important day because Jesus says, if there's no resurrection, there is no life. This truly is our hope. Did we die or did we have our faith in a dead man? No. We have our faith in someone who dies and rose again. And so this morning we're going to take a look at the resurrection, and we're going to take a look at three interesting people that after the resurrection didn't quite recognize Jesus. Sometimes we get into this mindset that we think we know who Jesus is, or we only can see Jesus through this one particular way, or picture, or circumstances. However, it's completely different. And so this morning, we'll start off in the Gospel of Matthew with the resurrection. Chapter 28. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone, the door, and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring disciples the word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." And so they came to him, and they fell at his feet, and worshipped him. And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid." So here we see, after the resurrection, the response of two that recognized Jesus. But before that, what happened? They went to the tomb seeking a dead man. They weren't looking for someone who was alive. And sometimes we get into that situation where we face something in life and we expect a certain Jesus to show up. Or we may, on past experiences with God, say, "Hey, God's going to do it this way," and we don't recognize him. However, once they understood and they remembered the words of Jesus, they fell at his feet. John has a little different account, so if you would flip over to John. And we're in chapter 20 of John. Because something happened before that event. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter, to the other disciples who Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. And so they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And when he stooped down, looking in, saw the linen cloths laying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not laid with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. And then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Interesting, because the scripture told them that, and also Jesus had spoke of that. And yet they didn't believe. Sometimes we hear things in the Bible, or the Lord promises things to us, and we still don't quite believe. Verse 10, the disciple went again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting at one end and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, why are you weeping? And she said, because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing and did not know it was Jesus. You got to ask yourself, why? She was standing there and she turns around and she sees the risen Jesus and didn't recognize him. Now, you might ask, well, maybe it was because he had a glorified body. Could be. Maybe it was because, you know, he was beaten so bad and now all those wounds are healed. Maybe it was because, who knows, in her grief she didn't see what was before her. Maybe it was because her lack of faith blinded her. And she was expecting to see Jesus in the tomb. Why was she coming to the tomb? She was coming to anoint the body with spices. That's what she was prepared for. If she was coming to meet a resurrected Lord, she wouldn't have brought the spices because they would not have been needed. But the question is, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Who do you think of when you think of Jesus? What comes to your mind? I'm sure something pops up. Maybe it's the, oh, I remember him as a lamb. As this gentle, kind lamb. Or someone who always has compassion. Or maybe because of the past crucifixion, maybe you think of Jesus bearing it all and being beaten and hung on a cross, and that's how you remember him. In fact, some places, some churches, still have him on the cross. And so maybe that's the image that pops into your mind when you think of Jesus. Maybe it's a picture that you grew up with and was always there, and you remember that picture. So when you hear the word Jesus, that's where your mind goes. Or maybe it's a story. Or maybe you think, oh, it's just a fable. You see, if that's your perception of Jesus, he could be standing right in front of you and you won't recognize it because you're not looking for the risen Lord. You see, Jesus came first as the Lamb of God who had to take care of this issue of sin. It's a sin that we all are guilty of. That ever since the garden, when mankind fell, and ever since then, everyone born of Adam inherited that sin. Now, someone once asked, well, that's not fair. I didn't ask to be born. Therefore, I didn't ask to inherit the sin of Adam. Well, that's again a perspective. Yeah, maybe you weren't asked to be born. In fact, I guarantee every one of us here was not asked to be born. We didn't have a part in that. But we do have a part in God's promise. And just like he told Adam and Eve, just like he told Abraham, this issue of sin, I got it. I'll deal with it. I'll pay the price. On Wednesday, when we did our Good Wednesday service, we talked about who was guilty of crucifying Jesus. Because there's that thought, well, the Jews did it, or the Romans did it. And actually, the scripture says, no one did it. He laid down his life for you. Nobody did it. That was one of the many prophecies that whole Holy Week, which we're still part of, fulfilled. when they came to pierce them with the sword, to speed up the death, to break the legs, to speed up the process of a crucifixion that would normally take 3 to 5 days, but because of the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that holy high Sabbath, they had to get him off the cross. And they wouldn't take him off until the punishment was paid. But when they came to Jesus, they found the Spirit was already gone. Why? Because he gave it up. So who killed Jesus? Nobody. He willingly laid his life down for you to take care of that issue of sin. Now, he was placed in that tomb. And that's where everybody's story kind of ends. That's where Mary's story ends. And even as we read with the disciples, up until the point where John believed because he saw the cloths lying there, they still were like, in a state of unbelief. Verse 15, still in John, Jesus, still speaking to her, says, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" He asks the question. You see, that's important because coming to the Lord is a free will. It's something that you have to choose to do. It's not something that God forces down your throat. It's a choice. And so Jesus asks that question to us today as we're here celebrating Resurrection Day. You came here. Who are you seeking? Are you seeking the Jesus that you picture from your youth? Are you seeking the Jesus that through maybe false teaching you think is a hard God, a judgmental God? Are you seeking a Jesus that is still on the cross and self-betrayed? She's supposing him to be the gardener. She thinks he's the gardener, right? Says to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him." See, the key verse or the key words in there is, if you carry him because he's dead, and where did you lay his body because he's still dead? She still believes he's in the grave. She's looking for a dead Jesus. 16, he said to her, "Mary." And then she recognized him. You see, when you seek God, he responds to you. You know he responds to you. It's interesting that she at that point now, because she didn't use her eyes. She didn't use her eyes. Sometimes we get stuck in that thought of, I can't believe until I see it. And that's a dangerous place to be. How did she recognize his voice? Well, in order to recognize the voice, you have to be familiar with the voice. And then once you gain that sense of familiarity with the voice, that's the only way you can recognize it, because prior to this, she had spent a lot of time with Jesus. It's what we call fellowship. And there's been a lot of people asking lately to me, how do I know the difference? I just had another conversation yesterday with somebody that said, how do I know whether I'm listening to the right thing or following the right Jesus or following the right truth? I said, you have to know the Word so well that you read the Word. And you don't have to be a scholar, but you read the Word and you get so familiar with it that when the Lord speaks, you hear his voice and you recognize who he is. And that is a huge, huge difference. Let's go to Luke and look at the last picture that we see here. First day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. See that key verse, they're still coming to anoint a dead body. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And by the way, that wasn't an easy stone to move. Jesus doesn't just roll that away by himself in the physical human form. He's rolled away supernaturally. And they went in and they did not find the body of the Lord, and it happened. They were greatly perplexed. It's interesting choice of words. They were perplexed. What happened? And sometimes when God works in our lives, we try to explain it. Oh, well, it must have been this, or it must have been that. And we grasp at all these things other than it was God. They were perplexed about it. And the old two men stood by them in shining garments. Then they were afraid. They bowed their faces to the earth, and they said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.' Remember that?" And they remembered. And then they returned to the tomb, returned from the tomb, and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Okay. So, verse 13. "Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they had talked together of all the things which were happening." Quite the story, right? "So it was that while they were conversing and reasoned," again, they're trying to work this out in their minds, "that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained." Have you ever read that verse before? And have you asked yourself, why were their eyes restrained? "So that they did not know him." Why were their eyes restrained? Again, we ask that same question as to why Mary didn't recognize Jesus in the garden. Was it because of their lack of faith? Was it because, you know, even though we spent the last 3.5 years with Jesus, you know, there's no way that he could have pulled this miracle off, even though just days before he raised Lazarus from the dead? That's impossible. Sometimes we get that attitude in our lives as well, as we think, oh, God's great, God's good, but my issue, it's just too big for God. Did you know you can take your thumb and walk out that door and put your thumb and completely block out the sun? Do you know how big the sun is compared to your thumb? We do that same thing. We take our little problem and we put that little problem up and we block out the sun of God. There's nothing that's impossible. So maybe their eyes were restrained because of their own faith. Maybe you're here today and you're like, "No, I just can't believe that Jesus said that I can't see, or that I can't logically put together." If you're doing that, then your eyes are restrained. You can't get past your own thought, your own logic, your own disbelief. God rolled the stone away. And he rose from the dead. Verse 17, he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" On Wednesday, we talked about the crucifixion is not a tragedy. Sometimes when we recount that story or we watch movies of it, it tugs at our heartstrings. And that's what it's designed to do, according to, you know, the Hollywood standards. They want to tug at your heartstrings. And no doubt it was a horrific event. But we ought not feel sorry for Jesus. Because without that, we have no salvation. He foretold it. Even this morning, I was watching, I had the History Channel on, there was the Bible, and I was like, God, oh, this is just so bad. And they were trying to explain why Jesus was so brokenhearted in the garden. And they put it as, well, he was fearing the pain. He was fearing dying. And that wasn't it at all. You think God was afraid of pain? No. He was afraid of that separation from God as he took on our sin. Because sin can't be in the presence of the Holy God. And so as Jesus bore the sins of the world, God had to forsake him. The only time in the Bible that we read Jesus addressing his Father was God. Because he would have lost that relationship. And that's what sin does. Sin gets in the way of your relationship with God. As we recount that story that on the road of Emmaus, see people dying, he talks to them, he starts to remind them again of the events and how he portrayed them. And all of a sudden, they saw. As we continue with the story, you can turn over one more page. Well, my Bible is another page. y'all got my Bible? Okay, this is on page 1430. Verse 28. As they drew near the village where they were going, he indicated that he would have gone on farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, stay with us, live with us. For it is evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass that he sat on the table with them. He took the bread, he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Now he has just done that on the night of the crucifixion. And then their eyes were open. Why? Again, it's that the Lord recognized him. And he said, our hearts burned within us while he talked with us on the road. And while he opened the scriptures to us. And so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. And found the 11 to those who were with him gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And that's Peter. And that would be a whole other topic because Peter was the first to deny him outside of Jesus. But he went back and he restored them. If you deny Jesus, he's seeking restoration. He will seek you. Verse 35, and they told him all the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst. And he said, peace to you. Peace is here. He is peace. Not earthly peace, but peace because of the cross that brings you to the end of the body. And while they were terrified and frightened, suppose they had seen a spirit. Verse 37 is interesting. So what are they still looking at? Oh, it's a spirit. It couldn't be the risen Lord. All this disbelief. There was a time in my life where I just said, you know, Jesus, if you just appear to me, I'll believe. I'll believe even more. Man. Let's learn from this example. They watched him die. They put him in the tomb. They heard him. They saw the miracles that he did. And he stood there in their midst. They were like, nah. Couldn't be true. They don't think we would believe either. Verse 38 said, why are you in trouble? And why do your when doubts arise in your heart? Behold, my hands and my feet, I myself handle thee and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. So when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But joy and marvel, he said to them, "You have any food here? Okay, let me eat." Right? And so they gave him a piece of boiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written by the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they may comprehend the scripture. There's even a guy that's another gospel named Thomas. He says, I don't believe in my own flesh. He says, that's a really super medicine. So the question that we pull out of what we're looking at today is, who did you come to see this morning? Which Jesus? You see, as we study the book of Revelation on Wednesday night, we see the real of Jesus. And that Jesus, who doesn't come back on a donkey bringing peace, he comes back on a white horse, conquering. The interesting thing about that verse is there's some people tagging along with Jesus, and they're called the saints. Those believers who pass on, who are caught up in the rapture, return with him as Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, comes back to reclaim. This morning, Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished. It is done. The penalty of sin has been paid." And that gift is open for you. This morning, I would ask, whatever your eyes are seeing, that today you would open your eyes and see the risen Lord. Because with the risen Lord, we have life. We have victory. We have conquered death. All because of the resurrection. And so this morning, as we close, I want you to consider that. Pray that the Lord would open the eyes of your heart, that you would see him. We just read the account that many people denied believing, not denied, but they didn't believe him. They were still looking for a dead Jesus. But the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw the Lord. So that is my prayer for us. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you that we have the scripture to see you indeed are risen. Not only do we have the written testimony of those, lots of historical data that shows you who wrote this. This morning, as we're here, I just ask you to open up our hearts, our eyes, our ears, that we would see who you are. You would see the victorious, risen Lord.
Like, I don't have Jason. Where is he?
Salvation.
Christ is there. Christ is
there. Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for your saving grace. As we continue in this song, I would just ask that you pray.